Are we ready to open next month?
I think so.
You think so?
Well, it's complicated. Fire protection, first aid supplies, uniforms, safety training, mat services. Oh, and restroom supplies.
So uncomplicated. Call CentOS. They'll handle all of it.
Wow. One company can handle all that? That's not very complicated.
So, you'll be ready?
Oh, we'll be ready.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how CentOS can help you get ready for the workday. Visit CentOS.com.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, Robert Land, along with my co-host, Brian Patterson from House of Houston, and welcome to Locked On Texans, your daily home for Texans news, views, and interviews. This show brought to you by MyBookie. More on that in a bit. But this is our weekly Three Things to Look For podcast. We give you our three things to look for in the Seahawks game Sunday. We do it every week, previewing the next game. And before we start, though, with our three things to look for, Brian, it's time for the Texans weekly player shuffle. We need to have some sort of music for this at some point. But cornerback Marcus Burley was released. A rookie nose tackle out of Illinois, Chucky Clemons, was added to the practice squad. Ho-hum news. The major part of this, though, inside linebacker Jelani Jenkins out of Florida put on the roster. Anything interesting about Jenkins? We you know, if these guys are available, it's usually a bad sign because at this point in the season, they're out there and nobody was interested.
He's a body coming on in. We don't know how long he's going to be here. He's 6 foot tall, 243 pounds. Comes out of Florida, fourth round pick from 2013, was last with the Bills. He's fast, athletic. I mean, he describes pretty much what being Heaney is, and he's healthy this week. That's a good thing. But again, it'll be interesting to see how he's used. But I think right now he's just a guy. So I won't be singing Jenkins' praises right now, but maybe in the future I will. Maybe he'll make his mark here with the Texans.
Yeah, really spent most of his time with the Miami Dolphins. The Raiders, he was there, but just to give you an idea, he was there from March until early September of 2017. So basically didn't play, was placed on the injured reserve, released after 2 days later with a settlement on September the 4th, if my dates are right. And then with the Bills from September the 12th just to September 19th before he was released. So not a whole lot. I mean, his name means, Jelani means Swahili for mighty, so hopefully he can do some mighty things for the Texans. But hey, let's get to our three things to look for, because that's always a bunch of fun, Brian. And what's your number one? What's your first thing that you're looking for in this game?
I just want to see how well our pass rush is going to be. I know, you know, J.J. White and Whitney Mercer aren't out there, but we've got Jadeveon Clowney, Christian Covington, D.J. Reader, and Brendan Scarlett. They're going to be out there. They're going to be working hard to do that. Russell Wilson is not the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. That title belongs to Mr. Jacoby Brissett at 25 so far, but he has been sacked 14 times, so that's good for 16th in the league. Are they going to be able to get past their inexperienced offensive line? A lot of those guys are very, very young. And so guys like Pacek and Odeyabushi is the veteran on that offensive line right now. And he's, of course, been around for about four seasons. But everybody else on that offensive line, it's just not the type of experience you would expect. This is their second season, a lot of them are rookies. So that's the reason why they're so bad. They just don't have the experience. But I guess the Seahawks should have had that plan in place. But again, they're not horrible because Russell Wilson's not getting sacked. But again, that's because of his elusive capabilities, being able to, if the pocket does get flushed, he knows how to get out of it and make something happen.
You know, in our show yesterday, and we beg of you to listen to that because we had so much fun. And I think it was my favorite Locked On crossover that we did, our favorite behind enemy lines, as we call it, because we talked to the guys from the other show, but we talked to the Seahawks guys, the Locked On Seahawks guys. And one of the things that I mentioned, you talk about getting pressure. My number one thing is not as much about the pressure. I think this is going to be, as I told those guys, keep Russell Wilson in the pocket. I think that's what Vrabel is going to say to these guys. Look, we might not be able to get to this guy, and it's probably not a deal where you want to chase him out of the pocket a ton, because if he gets on the run and he picks up yards that way, he's very dangerous. Obviously, of course, with what he could do with his legs, he's basically Deshaun Watson number one, so he knows what he's doing with his legs. So the Texans, they got to keep him in the pocket, I think, and make him make the throws. I mean, he's a good passer, but we're not going to put him in the same category as Aaron Rodgers or, you know, Peyton or Tom Brady or whatever. So make him beat you from the pocket. And I think with the Texans pass rushers, being that you don't have the J.J. Watts to chase him around or the Whitney Mercilesses, I think that's going to be the thing to do, Brian. So really no surprise from my standpoint on my number one thing. You know, I just feel like that's going to be important, and it's going to be more important maybe even than getting to him, because I don't think you're going to get a whole lot done if your goal is to just try to overload a side or to send a blitz, because then you almost make him more dangerous than he normally would be.
Yeah, he eats blitzes for breakfast. He's so experienced, and he knows what to do. He's won a Super Bowl. You almost don't want to do that, because it could make it even worse. But you know, you have to try, you know, different things, you know, Adam, you know, and with the guys that we have, with the talent, with the pass rushing, we still have a lot of guys out there. I mean, you've seen Brendan Scarlett's speed. I think they can get to the quarterback. And if I would do it, I would try to go on Ode Abushi's side on the right and try to get to him from there. But again, he might start dancing and start doing the ballet and just, you know, dance out of the pocket and then find his guys out there, because that's a talented receiving core that they do have right now with Tyler Lockett and Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, I'm not scared. Like I said, I'm not scared about him in the pocket finding his guys or even getting flushed out. I'm scared about him taking off and picking up chunk plays, 10, 15 yards on the run. I saw it when the last time the Texans played the Seahawks, that was the famous game where Matt Schaub gives up the pick six late in the game to the Seahawks. And actually the Texans played a great game that game until that pick six, but Russell Wilson had taken the Texans straight up the field. And I remember that game very well, where he does his magic late in the game on chunk plays with his feet. So let me get to your number two thing. What's your second thing to look for?
Oh, it's the cornerback and wide receiver matchups. And this is going to be a pretty good one to watch. Obviously, it's going to be the one between Richard Sherman and DeAndre Hopkins. You know, both, you know, highly spirited, competitive guys going at each other. So that's going to be the number one matchup to watch. But you may see a little bit of Shaquille Griffin on him. And DeAndre Hopkins, of course, has an advantage over that, in my opinion. The matchup between Will Fuller and Richard Sherman, that's pretty even as well. So we'll have to see that. Doug Baldwin, if he Pro Football Focus, I'm just looking at their numbers here, and they're saying that Doug Baldwin has a 60% advantage over Kareem Jackson. So if Kareem Jackson gets a start, they're projecting that he's going to be all over him. Honestly, I think that with any guy that they get, except for, you know what, Jonathan Joseph, he played so well last week. It was the Browns, but I would love to see him being challenged by Doug Baldwin. I would put Jonathan Joseph on him and then go from there. But it'll be interesting to see how our corners play, and if Kevin Johnson gets that opportunity to play this week. I would phase him in. I wouldn't have him out there at first, let Kareem and J.J. go out there, but phase Kevin in and see how he's doing with his tackling and whatnot, because when he was out there, the tackling was horrible. He's got to improve on that. So, and that's what I saw with my own eyes. Some people may say, oh, well, he didn't do too bad, but he could have been a lot better with his tackling when I last saw him out there on the field, especially week one. It was just incredibly bad.
I want to circle back to what you said on Kevin Johnson, but your second thing, you talking about the wide receiver cornerback matchups, leads me to my second thing to look for. And if you're Deshaun Watson, be prepared to throw to other options, because the corners, like you said, they're really, really good. And Nuke Hopkins might be locked down. Watson looked stuck in those first three quarters, Brian, against the Chiefs, when he couldn't get it to DeAndre Hopkins. He needs to adjust quicker in this one. He's got to learn how to do that. We're going to see how quickly Deshaun Watson makes adjustments, because I think he's going to be in that same situation where Nuke Hopkins, he might be tough to, it might be tough to find him. It might be tough to get him the football. And so does he go ahead and look for secondary and third options like, you know, Ryan Griffin, or, you know, if it's Lamar Miller coming out of the backfield, or Bruce Ellington, how is he adjusting? And that's really where Deshaun Watson takes it up another notch, another level in this quarterback league. You can take it up yet another level if you quickly adjust and you quickly understand that.
I see. Yeah, absolutely. And what about CJ Fedorowicz? I think he returned to practice today, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, he's Fedorowicz. I was going to mention that in a little bit. Yeah, he could be back in 2 weeks, according to Bill O'Brien. And that's when he is slated to come off the injured reserve. So they think he's going to come off when they said he was going to, you know, the 6 weeks that they had put him on there for, basically. So he's going to come off in time. He's getting better. You know, it was mostly the concussion, I believe, that was the concussions that I believe that were the issue. But yeah, with Fedorowicz, it looks like he's going to be back, but it's not going to be this week. And if you're a betting man, though, you might want to look at this game and go with the over. If I were somebody, Brian, betting on this game, and you could talk about my bookie, but that would be my thing. We talked about the points, the Texans and the Seahawks, and who we thought would win. But, you know, to me, the interesting thing is the over under. I don't know what it is, but it feels like this game could be an over game with the Texans offense and their defense being a little bit shaky. But your thoughts on that, and you can head from there right into my bookie, because we got to hear about what those guys do.
Yeah, Vegas is being a little conservative about it because they don't know what they're going to see. But with this offense, you know, the way they've been rolling as of late, you know, I wouldn't count it out. It's kind of a risky bet, you know, to take the over. But hey, that's why you do it. So I think that's something that you guys should look into. I totally agree. And, you know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. You got the Texans, or do you have the Seahawks, Chicago, or Detroit? But let me tell you this, where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDON for up to 100% deposit bonus. There are a lot of online sports books out there. MyBookie.ag is the only one that gets my stamp of approval. And you know, I don't give that out lightly. To get my endorsement, I've got to personally use them, and that means they have to be the best. And MyBookie.ag is by far the best sports book I've used. MyBookie.ag has been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses. So off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts. Seriously, just 2 business days. It's no different from betting in a glitzy Las Vegas casino, but you can do it right from your smartphone. Trust me, go to mybookie.ag to place your bets and tell them I sent you using promo code LOCKEDON. So get over there and get the best odds anywhere.
According to what I'm seeing here, it's 45.5 is the over-under. And all those scores that we were talking about yesterday, I think, Brian, most of us had picked it with scores that would lead to the over. The Seahawks favored by 4.5. And if I remember correctly, you felt like that they would cover. You thought they're going to win by close to a touchdown, right?
We would win by that. And I put it right at, did I say 27-21?
You said we. I don't think you picked the Texans unless you're all of a sudden changing your tune here and changing course.
I still think we're going to lose by a touchdown. And I put the score like 27-21. So, you know, that's just a little bit over. That's a little bit over the, what was the line, 45. But then if you bet on the Texans, then that's a loss right there. So, yeah, I still see us losing this game. But if we win, I would love to be surprised. I will take a win. But I remember back when we were doing our previews, you know, before the start of the season, and I had put this down as a loss. But now it doesn't seem so certain, you know, with the way they've been playing. They've been up and down as well.
Last time a rookie quarterback won in Seattle, it was former Katy Tiger Andy Dalton who got a W, but that's all the way back in 2011. Yeah, it's tough to win in Seattle. Brian, let's get to the third thing to look for. What's your big number 3?
Can Deshaun Watson keep up this torrid pace that he is on with the touchdown passes. He's got 15 touchdown passes. Carson Wentz just passed him up this week on Monday night with 17 touchdown passes. So he's averaging about three a game. The Seahawks are eighth in pass defense. That's giving up 190.8 yards per game. They're pretty good at it. Can he be successful with it? So that's going to be something that you want to keep your eye on. They're not as good with the rush defense. They're in the middle of the pack. They're 15th. So they're giving up 113.7 yards per game on the rush. So they're going to probably be looking to run the ball a lot. And we've had a lot of success with that. One of these things that the offensive line is good for is that they are able to run block and find the holes for Lamar or whoever has the ball, if it's Deontay or not. So, yeah, I would love to see Deshaun Watson throw a couple of touchdown passes. But with as good as they are defending the pass, and, you know, especially with Richard Sherman out there, who knows how this is going to turn out. I'm unsure about the deep ball, if it's going to be going this week, or if he does a deep ball, they're going to make him pay for it. So keep an eye on that.
I just checked, Brian, and the record the Texans have after a bye week, which is always interesting because you figure teams are more well-rested. They've had more time to prepare. Coaching staffs have had more time to prepare. The Texans are just 7-7 since 2003 after the bye week. So I couldn't find Bill O'Brien's record since the bye week. I can't recall if he's had any extra success, but that's something else that might be interesting to kind of figure out as far as where you would go with this game and where the Texans might be, you know, coming off of the 2 weeks off. But, you know, my third thing to look for, and I'm going to be just Captain Obvious and say, how much do the two first round picks that you're adding to the Texans roster this week, how much does that help you? And I'm anxious to see if Kevin Johnson and Dwayne Brown back on the field can make a huge difference. Does Watson have more time to throw now? Are the holes bigger for Miller and Foreman thanks to Dwayne Brown on the left side of the line? And I'm assuming he's going to start. Chris Clark, we're on Wednesday at this point as we're recording this, and Chris Clark still isn't practicing, and you just figure they got to throw Dwayne Brown back out there. And can Kevin Johnson shore up what's been a questionable secondary at times? I'm going to go back to something that you said, Brian, earlier. You said Kevin Johnson wasn't good at tackling earlier this year, but that's not been the Kevin Johnson that we've seen. The one thing that he's done really well in his Texans career is tackle. I shouldn't be concerned about that. And I'm just going to pretend like he had a bad game or two, and he's going to get back to that level where he is a good tackler. That's probably, of all of his skills, the one that I have the most confidence in. So I'm really interested to see. I mean, yeah, it seems obvious, but can this help the Texans quite a bit, just having this level of talent back? Because there's no question, we're talking about Dwayne Brown. We're talking about one of the best Texans players of all time, their best offensive lineman, their left tackle. I mean, that should be a huge boost to the offense. And Kevin Johnson, look, I mean, this guy has got to be better than a bunch of guys that you're pulling off of the scrap heap, the Jonathan Banks of the world or Marcus Burleys or, you know, whoever it's been, Marcus Williams. It's got to be better than those guys, right? So
right,
I would hope that, you know, that would make a difference.
You know, I just am critical. You just, whenever I'm seeing bad play out there, and that we may have been hurt at that time, but just trying to play through the pain. So, you know, you brought up a great point, Rob. Yeah, it's just what I saw with the trained eye, you know, just looking out there and just, you know, calling it like how I see it. But, you know, he's had all this time to, you know, recover, and he's practicing now. So we could see something a lot different this week, and I hope that I do as well. And I wanted to touch on what you said about Bill O'Brien. The main thing is, where are we at the half? I mean, I don't know what his record is, but it's undefeated, and I think he's like in double-digit wins whenever he leads at halftime. So, yeah, pay attention to that. Yeah, if we're leading at the halftime, you know, more than likely we're going to go and win this game, especially with this new offense that we're running.
Yeah, I got to put the got to be good at putting the stranglehold on teams, and that's one thing you got to give to Bill O'Brien. He's, you know, if this is professional wrestling, you know, he puts on that stranglehold and it matches over. They count to three and they're out. Yeah, this game, I don't think there's going to be many more games that I'm going to look forward to as much this season. yeah, there's the division games, but how excited can you be to play Blake Bortles or a Titans team that just doesn't look like they're all that good? The Steelers game on Christmas, of course, with Ben Roethlisberger, and I'm assuming the Steelers are going to be a playoff team by that point in the season, so that's going to be a fun game to watch. But this game, it goes up there with the Chiefs and the Patriots as your marquee matchups if you're the Texans this season, doesn't it, Brian?
Yeah, it's very true. And you know how the Steelers are playing earlier in the season? We were wondering what kind of value that game's going to have, you know, on Christmas Day. But, you know, as always, they figure out a way to get it together. You know, they're rolling now with Le'Veon Bell. So this is going to be one heck of a matchup game on Christmas Day. That's going to get a lot of eyeballs on the screen and, you know, a lot of fans, you know, packed capacity crowd as always to see this this particular game. We haven't played them since 2014. So, you know, we're very due. And that was up there in Pittsburgh. So it's a long time coming, and I always enjoy playing the Steelers.
Usually it's at this point we make our predictions, but me and Brian, we both made our predictions in the previous show, our Behind Enemy Lines with those guys. So if you didn't hear it, go listen. We kind of gave one of those predictions away a little bit earlier. But I'm telling you, you got to go hear that. If you haven't been listening in a week, I'm going to take the week off because what's going on with the Astros and, you know, the Texans didn't play on Sunday. Go listen to that Travis Johnson, because those two shows in the last week, really two of our best shows, in my opinion, that we've had over the last few months, and they're definitely worth a listen. And by the way, if you love what you're hearing, if this is fun for you, if this is something that you want to stick around, go rate us on iTunes. You get a free subscription to Pro Football Focus. Brian, it's a $40 value, and all you got to do is what? What do they got to do to get a free subscription?
All you have to do is just put your opinion. Tell us how we're doing. Leave a way that we can contact you. So your Twitter handle, your Instagram handle, an email address, let us know how we can get a hold of you, because we want you to win this package, because it's going to give you the advantage that you need.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great way to also for people out there to find us. And another way for people to find us is just, hey, let them know. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, say, hey, you're a Texans fan. This is a great listen every week. You know, the more people that we have listening, the more likely it is we can continue to give you the content and give you this on a daily basis, which if you're a Texans fan, this is where it's at. If you want to hear a daily Texans content from a podcast standpoint, you're not going to get it anywhere else. You might not like what's going on with radio. You know, you might not like what they're doing with the Texans these days. Well, this is another opportunity for you. And Brian, you know, everything going on in Houston right now, House of Houston, you guys got a ton of stuff going on, the Rockets, and of course, the Astros. I mean, we're talking about the World Series, kids. The Astros are in the World Series this week. How fun is that?
Oh, it is. It's very fun to watch. I mean, last night's game, it was just a matter of...
When you say last night, for people that don't know, we're recording this on Wednesday night. A lot of people might be getting this on Thursday. I have to remind... Brian... always forgets that, hey, podcasts, they're not listening to us right now. You know, they're listening to us whenever. So I got to just remind people, because it's easy to think that people are listening to us right now because we got the energy level that it's right now. But it's not always the case.
Yeah, that's true. But the game that they played, it was just a matter of unfortunate miscues, and we just couldn't hit the ball. I suspect that in game two, the Astros are going to step it up. The thing about Justin Verlander is that he lifts the rest of the team up. He invigorates the offense and the defense. It just, he has that effect on those guys. And I'm just so glad we were able to get him, you know, at the non-waiver trade deadline. So that's the case there, or waiver trade deadline. I think I have it backwards, but we have a lot of stuff on HouseHouston.com about the World Series. We're trying to keep up as quickly as we can. I know the Rockets are full speed ahead, and you know, trying to figure out who's going to back up Chris Paul, since he's going to be out for a while. We just re-signed Isaiah Cannon, so he's back on the team because he's fast and can shoot threes well, you know, at about a 36% clip. So
Cannonball, Cannonball.
Yes, yes. From downtown, yes. But he's going to be a terrific add, and, you know, just for the minimum, and it's just great to have him on board. And then, of course, you know, we'll have Texas stuff up there as well about the Seahawks matchup. So go to houseofhouston.com. We've got a lot of good stuff up there.
You want some Astros talk? Go over to Houston Sports Talk. We have been giving you post-game shows. Me and RG are handling that for the World Series throughout the playoffs. And also, we previewed it, and it's still worth a listen. We talked to Brownie, Bill Brown, the legend, the Astros broadcaster of 30 years. That was fun. So go check that out, and we're going to get into some Rockets as the Rocket season gets a little bit rolling. But we're pretty hyper-focused on the Astros right now for good reason, obviously. And don't forget, if you're a new listener, pass the word along to a friend or two. We'll remind you again. Let them know they can find us on iTunes and all your regular podcast apps. Locked On Rockets with Ben DuBose. It's another way to keep up with the Rockets, of course, and you guys know that. But also, don't forget, we are now affiliated with FanRag Sports. We're excited about that. We are going to have a FanRag-related affiliated site here within the next couple of weeks. So great affiliation for Locked On Network, and it's a great way for us to get into a broader audience, and I think we can't be happier about that. Email us at LockedOnTexans@mail.com if you got a question or topic that you'd like us to talk about. Message us through Facebook or Twitter as well. And thanks so much for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.